Welcome to Career Tools. Resume Update 2019, Part 2. Our final part? Here we go. This cast answers these questions. What's new in resumes in 2019? How should I change my resume for 2019, if I should at all? And how truthful do I need to be on my resume? Folks, for the first time in a number of years, we've created a new conference, the M Conference, something completely different we've never done before. Over 2 days, we've asked executives of the Manager Tools community to come in and share their corporate and career experiences with you. We only had to ask 12 people to have 10 people say yes within 48 hours. We have representatives from banking, from consumer products, from high finance, from venture capital, private equity, high tech, Wall Street, aerospace, startups, the automotive industry, consulting, all over the block. We have, out of 10 speakers, I think we have 8 C-suite executives and 2 other vice presidents or executive vice presidents. We're working with them on curating what they're going to talk about. We're trying to help you go to the next level in terms of your learning. And because executive life is more nuanced, more subtle, more differentiated depending upon your industry and what your role is and so on, we thought you'd rather hear from executives who have specific experiences in specific places. I encourage you to reach out to me if you want to learn more about the M Conference. You can email me at mahorseman@manager-tools.com. We're doing it in October in Dallas. Plenty of time to consider, and we recommend you come. Okay, so what else? What other trends? You know, AI, you don't need to do anything for AI, guys. Just do your resume the right way.
Yeah, so some trends that you might be impacted by. Well, the first one is video screening. So video screening is a short interview usually held between the resume stage and the phone screening with the hiring manager, or between the resume and the interview, depending on what they're doing. And it's used by companies to weed out clearly unqualified candidates and to reduce the pool of resumes to a manageable number. So if as a hiring manager, you put a job on the web and you get 400 applicants, then it's much easier to send all those 400 to a video, a screening, to send them a link and say, you're going to do a video, you're going to answer these questions. You know, 20% of the people won't bother. And then another 20% will be clearly unqualified because they don't have the right answers to fairly simple questions, which is what video screening is on. Sometimes it's a live human on the other end who will ask you the questions. Sometimes it's just you videoing yourself answering questions. And the one thing to remember is the other person can see you, which sounds really obvious, right? Because it's a video. Of course they can see me. But people don't think any further than that. Like, they can also see your background. They can see what you're doing. They can see what you're wearing. So think about all of those things. Think of the impression that the person who is looking through the video is getting of you as the candidate, as well as the answers to the questions, because those things are just as important.
Yeah, we actually recommend that when possible, you mentioned phone screens, that hiring managers do video screens, and there are people who choose not to do them because they don't want to be videoed. And well, that's an easy criteria. Is that person a great person for you to hire? It's possible they're a weird genius, but you don't try to hire by going and looking for weird geniuses. You might meet a weird genius and stay in touch with them or her and discover that you can make them work in your workplace, but that person would have to come from your bench. You're not going to find that person somewhere else. And what's interesting about that, the whole point of what I was saying was, before I got sidetracked with weird geniuses, is my book, The Effective Hiring Manager, comes out in probably September or October of this year, 2019. And in it, we talk in detail about how to do a resume screen. So for those of you who are thinking about a search later on this year, when the book does come out, you may want to read it to understand the tactics of the guy or gal on the other side of the table. I think there are probably 20 things we ask people to look at in resumes. you might want to prepare your resume and then have it do some red team, blue team fighting against our criteria to see how it stacks up. Okay, what's next?
Okay, so next up, online assessments. So online assessments have been used for hard skills in the past. So hard skills are things like math and logic and reading comprehension, ability to program, those kind of things. But they're now being used for softer skills. So soft skills are things like communication, collaboration, leadership, sort of the interpersonal stuff. Sometimes they are personality questionnaires, like DISC or MBTI or Clifton Strengths. Sometimes they're just a list of questions that don't seem to relate to anything. The important thing about this is to not try to game the system. First of all, if you try and game any of those personality questionnaires, there's a thing at the end when you get the output from them, they say whether or not the system thinks you tried to game it. And in my experience, the system is usually right.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good. And I think we actually have a podcast about that called Horseman's Wager, where I say, what happens if you try to become somebody different and then don't get an offer?
Right. And you might have got the offer if you've just been yourself.
Yeah. If you're yourself and you don't get an offer, well, okay, that's probably not a fit. If you're yourself and you do get an offer, well, that's a good fit. If you're not yourself and you don't get an offer, wouldn't you just want to kick yourself? Or worse, what happens if you're not yourself and you get an offer? Can you really be sure that you're going to fit there when you twisted yourself into knots to get through the hiring process?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't game the system.
And, you know, these assessments kind of...
They're dumb. I'll say it. They're dumb. The assessments are all predicated on the idea that the company really knows what it's looking for, and it's built an assessment that truly understands the job, and then they don't use something like MBTI, which, if you don't know, is Myers-Briggs. Myers-Briggs has been widely panned and debunked as a scientific document. We happen to be big fans of DISC here. There are a lot of different assessments and so on. I'm not a fan of Clifton Strengths, but that's okay. I just don't think the chances that the test truly is, I shouldn't say test, I should say instrument. They're not tests. There's no right answer, but the chances that the instrument is really valid are small, but that doesn't matter because companies use them. So be yourself. If you don't get through, you don't get through.
Right. And don't try and change the company's mind about the instrument because they're not going to change their mind. Yeah. So next up, chatbots. So chatbots are most often used to communicate with candidates because in the past, there's been this thing about the black hole. So you send your resume into a company and you don't hear anything for 5 months because your resume just disappears. So in order to try and stop that happening, but not put a huge amount of labor into it, companies are using chatbots. So you go to the website, this little thing pops up in the left-hand corner or right-hand corner, and it says, answer a question or ask your questions. And sometimes they answer basic questions. If they are being used to qualify candidates, they might ask you about skills. Sometimes they're used to schedule interviews. So if you've been to your healthcare or your bank or any big institution that has lots of information, you've probably seen one of these chatbots. The HR ones are just the same. The hiring ones are just the same. It's just a little computer that has the answer to some questions, and sometimes it will refer you to a human being or another page. So they're probably not wholly unfamiliar to you. There's nothing particularly good or bad about them. It's just something that companies are using.
Yeah. Don't be surprised when you run into it.
Exactly.
Good. What's next?
Okay, social media advertising. And this one is confusing to me, but if you've been on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest or any of the other social media if you're breathing, right? And if you're in the right demographic, you may well have seen adverts for companies inviting you to look at their openings. We said at the beginning that unemployment is way low, which means that companies are not able to hire the people they want to fast enough. And so they go to they're going to the place where the people are that they want to hire.
Right.
So they're inviting you. So one of the ones I saw was from Dell, and basically it looked like a let's help you with your resume kind of ad. It was like, this person has some expertise. Come to our website and read it. but it was actually an advert for you to go look at their openings and then apply for them.
Really?
Yeah.
I like Dell, but that would really bug me, the whole bait and switch thing.
Yeah, and to me it's weird because Facebook is personal and work is work. And I keep those two things separate, at least around Facebook.
Yeah, you and I are the same in that way. I mean, most people I talk to are not. And I know plenty of people who say, I got creeped out. I'm going to use my life as an example, not the other person's life and the story he told. But it would be like me saying to you, I got totally creeped out. I opened up Google and there were ads for Pebble Beach and Cape Kidnappers. Like, wow. How do they know I don't like that? You know, this person didn't like that kind of targeting, whatever. And no, there's not a person at Google who knows your life, but the software feeds those ads to you unbeknownst to the humans at Google. And some people think that's great. In my mind, I think it makes my life better, but I never click on ads, so it doesn't matter. Other people think they're creeped out by it. So regardless, if you're on social media, there are algorithms designed to feed you information relevant to what you want. And if you're doing a job search, there's probably no way the systems don't know you're doing a job search.
Right.
So be aware.
Yeah, it's weird to me, but it will happen. And there's nothing nefarious. It's just the company's trying to find the right candidates.
Yeah. Next, diversity questions.
Yeah, last one of these trends is diversity questions. So companies are trying very hard to make their workforces more diverse for a variety of reasons. And so what they do in order to make sure that their ads are reaching the right people or reaching a diverse group of people and appealing to those people, they need to know what groups their applicants fall into. So the theory being, if they are reaching a diverse audience, they should have a diverse range of applicants for the jobs. So what happens is they ask you a bunch of diversity questions. Are you male or female? What race are you? Where were you born? How old are you? Those kind of things. And so when you see those questions, they are asking about you specifically, but the company doesn't use the information about you specifically. It aggregates the information to see how well they're doing at attracting women or attracting younger people or bilingual people or whatever. And the diversity information is separated from your application. So they kind of go in two routes, that the diversity information goes one way and is aggregated and your name isn't on it. And the other way goes your resume and your information to the hiring manager. I mean, that's how it should happen because that's the right way for it to happen. And there's probably companies out there doing bad things with that information, but there's companies out there doing bad things with everything.
Well, I think this is funny because managers have been told for years, you can't ask these questions. Mm-hmm. And then software is asking it. I can't imagine it's creating positivity in the marketplace for those companies who are doing it. I would tolerate it because, as we've said in our guidance and career tools, if you get asked illegal questions by a person or by software, go ahead and answer them. And if they have a disclaimer up front saying, we'd like to know this for our own data and it won't be applied to your particular situation. If you really want to work for the company, assess the inclusiveness of the people you talk to determine whether or not they're going to be biased for or against somebody of your race, color, creed, ethnic origin, gender, whatever. You know, we think you ought to give the company the benefit of the doubt, but I think it's funny.
It's just one of those trends and you're probably going to come into it. So
yeah.
Hey folks, if you're listening to this podcast, you know that management is not magical. One does not become a magnificent manager overnight and with no direction. Management is a professional discipline, just as accounting, IT, engineering, HR, and sales are. There are certain managerial behaviors in which one must engage to become a good manager, and most of us are not taught what those are. They're not hard, but if you don't know what the behaviors are and how to execute them, you might feel lost. If you feel that any of your managers fit that description, even though you know they're well-meaning professionals, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com or go to our website and click For Organizations to learn how we can come to you and help 25 to 30 of your folks at one time. We've made it affordable for all expenses included, $15,000 per day.
Okay, let's talk about resume templates.
Okay, so short answer, don't use a resume template for your resume or amend it based on studies that you read about, because there's nothing wrong with a template per se. We have one in the resume workbook. We have in the resume. But the problem is that so many of the templates you find are focused on the look, not the information. To a large extent, how your resume looks is irrelevant.
I don't care. Actually, the more you try to make it interesting, unless you're a designer, the more I think, dude, you're spending too much time on the wrong thing. I want you focused on one or two or three things when you come to work here. They'll change over time, but I don't want you trying to make things look pretty. You know, it's lipstick on a pig.
We said at the beginning, concentrate on getting your resume with quantified accomplishments into the hands of a hiring manager with a recommendation. Don't spend time making it look pretty. Think about it from a hiring manager's point of view. If you have two candidates and one has a bad-looking resume and really good accomplishments, and one has a good-looking resume and no accomplishments, which one are you going to interview?
Yeah. I'll tell you something else about look and feel. People want to use different fonts and subtle fonts and spacing and all kinds of stuff, and they want to put it on cream paper or gray paper and so on. Hey, folks, I'm a hiring manager. In fact, Manager Tools is hiring right now. I'm 58 years old. I wear reading glasses. If you get your colors a little bit different, I know you think you're going to work for a 35-year-old hiring manager, but maybe not. Maybe the person who's screening the resumes isn't. And I don't really think I'm that old, but I wear reading glasses when I read. And if your resume makes me squint, that's not a help. And it doesn't matter. What we want is black on white. We want boring in terms of look and feel, because that way we don't have to look at your resume immediately and assume that you have some sort of form or template or structure or design in it that will make it harder for us to find the things we're looking for. Anything, color, layout, that sends a message that this isn't stock, this isn't standard, makes us think it's going to be harder to find stuff. And we won't look as long. Now, you may think, well, that's not good. You're right. It's not for you, but it is good for me. So recognize this is a buyer's marketplace, and the systems through which you're going to be put are going to be determined by the buyer. So you got to play the game their way.
So some study results you might have seen if you've been looking at resume stuff, recruiters read in E or F patterns, which is the pattern that web pages are read in. So we look at the headline and then we look down the left-hand side to see which bits are interesting, and then we go across to the middle bit in theory.
What Wendy is saying, folks, is you need to draw a big E or a big F on the page, as big as the page itself, in capitals. And those areas are the things that people look at, recruiters look at when they're scanning a document. You may have also heard that when people read newspapers, they use a Z pattern. They go across toward the top third, and then they cut down and to the left, and then they go across again on the bottom third. That's a classic scanning pattern.
Thank you. That was a better explanation. You might also see recruiters prefer 2 or 1 or 7 or any other number of pages. Your resume needs to be skimmable. All of it is nonsense. Usually they're bad studies. So if you read them, it's a very limited number of people. They're not real resumes. They're college students that are being recruited, and so they're not hiring managers. So usually the data is rubbish anyway. But if you think again about normal human behavior, if you've been thinking, oh, we need a new kitchen, I'm bored with this one, or it's falling apart, or whatever, and you get an offer in the mail for a new kitchen, do you skim it or do you read the details? You read the details. You go, oh, look, this person's offering me a kitchen. Now, look, there were 5 things that were really important to me about kitchen. I'm going to read this carefully and see if those 5 things are on there. And that's exactly what hiring managers do with resumes. They get the resume and they go, oh, look, a resume for a project manager, which I was looking for. Now, there were 5 things that were important to me about project managers. Are they on this resume? They don't skim it. They don't read it in weird patterns. They read it from top to bottom, looking for the things that are the things that are important to them.
Yep. Microsoft Word has had templates in for years.
It has, but it has some new ones. There are 16 different ones now, including one called Pink Floral, which is my favorite. There's also a million websites who say they'll convert your LinkedIn profile into a resume via a template. So if you're tempted, these are my questions. Who designed the template? Is it a hiring manager or was it a designer who likes pretty things? Which templates get column inches? Just ask yourself. The ones that are boring with responsibilities and accomplishments, or the pink floral that looks good in an article? And the last question is most important. Who do you want to decide how you get represented on paper to a hiring manager? Do you want it to be you, or do you want it to be a designer you've never met? Don't use templates.
Okay. Lying on resumes is our last area. I actually was surprised to see this just because I wouldn't have assumed that in the press or in the popular media when we update this based on trends that this would be a trend.
It's horrible. Don't lie on your resume, ever. It isn't cool, it isn't clever, and it's not ethical. If you believe the articles that you read online, you might believe that everybody is lying on their resume, and you might think that you have to lie too in order to keep up.
Okay, but you're going to have to stop because I know people are thinking, what have I been reading that would have caused me to believe that people are suggesting I would have lied? I mean, they're not coming out and saying lying. So I'm confused.
So according to one of the studies I read from CareerBuilder, 75% of hiring managers caught a lie on a resume. So I have caught dates that are wrong, job titles that are inflated. I once caught someone who hadn't even worked for the company that they said they had. So they're all common. But the worry is that everybody's lying and so you need to worry, but or that you need to lie to keep up. But actually, if you think about that statistic, if you say 75% of hiring managers caught a lie on a resume, and the way I think, at least, that sounds like 75% of resumes have lies on them, right? But it's not.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Right. And if you do the math, right, they surveyed 2,575 hiring manager. Let's say each hiring manager only ever recruited for one job and got 10 resumes. So it's 25,000 resumes. 75% of hiring managers caught a lie. So that's nearly 2,000 resumes with a lie on them, which is around 7%. That's not everybody is lying. That's 7% of people are lying. And probably 7% of the population have a criminal record too. So, you know, it's not 75% of the people that you're competing with are lying. 7% of people who are lying and will probably be caught out. Because lying on your resume to make you look better is like stealing a car to impress a date. You might turn up in a BMW, but when the police chase happens, she'll know that it's not your BMW.
Yeah, well, I don't think people think they're lying. I think that they are trying to be, as I've said before, truthfully persuasive, meaning I want to be persuasive. How far can I stretch it?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, the moment you get that way and you find something that your ethics can live with, you've puffed it up enough that when we get resumes like that, they're incredibly obvious. They just scream, this is unprovable. And by the way, you can't prove you did it, and I can't prove you didn't. And that screams to me that this is an unethical resume.
And you, like me, would say one unethical point.
Yeah.
That's done. You're done, right? I don't forgive those.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we said earlier about personality instruments, there's no point in trying to game it, because if you get the job despite the fact that you lied about a skill, all of a sudden you won't be able to do that skill and you'll get fired, or you'll get fired because they find out that you lied. So it's a no-win situation for you.
Yeah. You just can't do it.
And lots of us have bad things in our history, right? I've been fired. You've been fired. Everybody's been fired. Maybe you didn't complete your education in the time that's expected. Maybe you have some other negative, like a long gap or something that you feel like this is going to make life harder for me, so I'll just cover it up. But everybody has one of those things, and it might take you a little bit longer to find a new job, probably not in this economy. Yeah.
Lay that burden down by the side of the road, folks. You've got blemishes on your record. It's normal. Almost every CEO I've ever known and worked with has been fired somewhere before, and they talk about it being a formative experience, and it's okay. It's fine. We understand that. Don't try to hide it. Don't leave that job off your resume. Don't do it. And we ask Kels, yeah, well, you know, why did you leave this job? Well, I got fired. I disagreed with the boss. You know, he asked me to do X. I said I wouldn't because of this, and I regret it. And look, if we love you, we're not going to care. We're just not going to care.
That's the thing. If you already decided you like a candidate, then the fact that they were fired, you're just like, oh, well, that last person clearly didn't have the judgment that I do.
Yeah. And since most managers stink anyway, it's probably true. Okay. So summarize for us.
All right. Well, things do change in recruiting and hiring, usually with the economy. And as we record this in May 2019, the market is firmly on your side. It's the best labor market for candidates, meaning it's the easiest for you to get a job that you want.
Guys, I would characterize that different. The market is less on the side of companies than it has ever been, but it's still not on your side because of all the stupid things people do to rule themselves out before they ever have a chance to interact. Anyway, okay.
So companies are finding it more difficult to hire qualified candidates. Yeah, the market's less on their side. So that means companies do more to try and entice companies to work for them. So 2 years ago, you may not have got an unsolicited interview request, but today you might. 2 years ago, you probably wouldn't have got a 50% pay rise moving between companies. Today, you could well get a huge amount. Yeah. If you've thought about moving companies in the last 5 years, then now is the time to do it, or to really consider it, to look at the market, to look at the jobs in your area, in what you want to do at the salary you want to have. Because the job market, even if you read all the articles, even though we're saying it's the best job market in 50 years, it's very hot and cold. So what might be true of one place and one job and one salary bracket may not be true of yours. So it's important to get the actual information for exactly what it is you want to do. And all that means having your resume ready, because if a recruiter calls tomorrow with your dream job and you have 2 days to get your resume back to her and you take the full 2 days, you have just said, I'm not that interested. So you want a resume that's ready to send the moment you hear about an opportunity.
That's it, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our update on resumes. Resumes haven't changed that much despite what the popular press tells you. See you next week here on Career Tools.